Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities. Please note, it's important to work within your scope of practice. You can find more information about this on the NGH website at www.ngh.net under the Safe and Ethical Practice menu. The opinions or views expressed do not necessarily reflect, represent those of the NGH.
Hello and welcome to the NGH podcast. My name is Deb Livingston. I'm your host for this sequence. And we're a podcast for both hypnotherapists, hopefully giving you information that you can use, and we're a podcast for the non-hypnotherapist to hopefully inspire you to learn more about this incredible vocation that we are all here talking about under the umbrella of the National Guild of Hypnotists. And today I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with John Brancato.
Got it.
And he is, little letters after him, John Brancato is a NALMHC and is a board certified hypnotist here at the National Guild of Hypnotists. He's also a hypnotherapist based in New York City with a focus on trauma and chronic health conditions. He offers integrative psychotherapy to individuals and couples. And as a clinical supervisor, he mentors mental health professionals, mental health professionals, fostering their growth in the art and science of psychotherapy. John's dedication to integrating psychotherapy and hypnosis enriches his clinical practice, providing clients with innovative and holistic therapeutic interventions. And what I love about this is that as a hypnotist, I'm not a licensed person because hypnosis is not a licensed vocation, but you are, which means you really have a broader foundation of the work you can do. And I love the fact that you can now inspire other people in your profession to maybe cross over and learn hypnosis also. So let's start there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was quite the crossover. You know, it's funny. I was doing psychotherapy first and then added in the hypnosis. And I came in through the psychoanalytic side because I was interested in all those psychoanalytic thinkers. And they did hypnosis, but then abandoned it. And they're not doing the hypnosis we do today. But, you know, one of the things that I have to say for the other mental health professionals out there is I really had to challenge myself to get into this space because, you know, hypnosis gives a really important challenge to psychotherapy. There are so many things that we don't think are possible that we really can do very quickly. That's just not in our scope with just psychotherapy. And so much gets unlocked.
What would be an example of this? What would be an example? This is really interesting.
Well, you know, the typical things, like even if we just stayed on a simple level, like smoking cessation or weight loss, or, you know, some of the things I do with chronic pain, for example, is they're so responsive to these trance states. And we just don't use those in psychotherapy. And in truth, I mean, trance is everywhere, right? The better question is, when are we not in trance?
Yeah.
It's been such an incredible addition to my practice. It's added a whole new dimension to the work. It changes how you speak. It changes how you interact in the world. Everything just, you know, hypnosis brings the world to life in this very interesting way.
Very much so. Did your clients notice a shift in what they're experiencing with you when you started adding hypnosis in?
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, in my explicit hypnotic work, you know, clients, I mean, I have received such great feedback from, you know, clients that I've seen before the time I was doing hypnosis to then adding it in. They've just, you know, it's funny, even just what I like to say is clinical levels of relaxation is enjoyable, regardless of what you do after that. But it's brought such incredible results on the trauma side of things that I'm doing, on the chronic health side of things that I'm doing. And it just, they blend together so well. And so a lot of what I do, honestly, is not explicit hypnosis, but so much, it's just informed the work that I do. And so all of the psychotherapeutic interventions are kind of through this lens of the understanding of language that we gain through studying hypnosis.
Okay. It can be another tool in your kit that you use.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, have your colleagues who are more on the psychotherapy side, how have they sort of embraced that you're doing this now as well as the other stuff?
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was a little like, okay, slow your roll there.
What's this young kid doing now?
Exactly. Like, what's he doing? But no, I get so much interest. I really have not had much real pushback. I've gotten a lot of questions, but not a lot of people taking it further.
Okay.
I was like, okay, wow, this is really cool. Good. It's like, okay, but then what? Well, sure.
The beginnings of a conversation.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And, you know, I think it's going to take people in the mental health space who are doing psychotherapy to really embrace this new world of it, to really see what's coming from it. And, you know, it's very interesting because there's a lot of meditation and mindfulness folded into our space. And there's things like EMDR, which is just great. Mm-hmm. But all of these things are leveraging trance states. And granted, they're working in different ways. But in truth, they're already embracing it. We're just not using that language, and we don't have the full scope of understanding in what we're actually doing in those states.
That's really interesting. So what was how did you get inspired to first become a psychotherapist?
Yeah. Well, I was in and out of therapy.
You're a healer. I need you to drop a set. That's your healer. But anyways.
Yeah, I'll take healer. I don't know what word I like anymore. But
positive change creator.
I'll take that. But yeah, I was in and out of therapy as a kid. And I was really privileged to have an amazing therapist as a kid who inspired me to do it. And I always knew I wanted to do it, but I was like, okay, if that's not like a real career, right? Like I got my psych degree from a business school. Cause I started, I was like, I'm going to be business. And I'm not business. But, and for so much of my life, I had chronic health conditions. And so I had allergies and autoimmune issues and GI issues and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of all came to a head, in 2016, 2017, when I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, inflammatory bowel disease. And that was, funny enough, my big shift into the type of work I'm doing now, because I went to go see a therapist at that time, and they did all the no-nos. You know, I was going in at a time, and I was really, you know, I was learning about this disease that I was diagnosed with, and I was like, this is not, it's not my life. I'm not gonna do this, right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, not understanding the power of suggestion. You know, that therapist really gave me some not so great ones about how, you know, you can't really make a change. You just have to manage. And it was a limiting mindset. And so that was right before I was going into grad school. And I knew I wanted to do therapy, but didn't know what type of therapy I wanted to do. And that really started to open my mind to what the field itself was missing, mm-hmm. which is a much more expanded framework. And what I was speaking about here, at the convention, which was just, they both went really well. I had some awesome questions asked, but I was talking about the integration of psychotherapy and hypnosis in a very much expanded framework. You know, I think the different part that I bring into this work that a lot of hypnotists don't see is I do a lot of long-term psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And hypnosis has actually a really important critique on long-term psychotherapy, which is that, well, why are you going to work that long for some things we can do in a pretty short period of time? And I took that critique and ran with it because I said, yeah, if I get the honor and the true privilege to work with someone for a few years, like, let's change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's really get it done. And let's do something. And we could do something in that time, but let's really see the levels of that change and build it over time.
That's a real
and so
powerful.
And so, you know, the type of hypnosis I do is more non-directive than a lot of hypnotists do, although a lot are doing it really based on the work of Rossi and Erickson, mm-hmm. are my two guys. I love those guys. And just a little bit. See, you know, you're in the know. You're in the know. Yeah, just it expanded in such a way because what I found is that I found some resistance, and granted, I was and am still growing in my understanding of hypnosis, but that there was a lot of resistance change, although I don't use that word. I don't like that word. And I don't let any of my supervisees use resistance. As soon as they hear it, the pattern break happens, right? It's like, wait, what is that? I'm not sure what that word is. But what I came to understand is that there's actually really important things within the symptoms that we experience. And we can use things like hypnosis and meditation to actually form a deeper understanding of what these experiences have to offer us. So some of my clients that come in with chronic health conditions, and what I learned about myself through the process, is we have really strong mind-body connections.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like a superpower
if you
can use it. It can also be the worst thing ever, but it could be a superpower.
Thanks.
Exactly. But it could be a superpower.
Yeah.
So,
and then we help our clients retrain their brain to not think those kind of thoughts. So it's
exactly
power.
Exactly. Right. So then a strong mind-body connection is no longer filtered through a distorted lens or a limiting belief or whatever whatever language we want to use.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Okay.
So you had the health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Has it, like, where are you now with it? Is it, like, where are you at with it now that you have hypnosis added into that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been so transformative for me. That and diet, I'll have to shout that out. But I've been in symptomatic remission for 4 years, actually 4 years to the day I did my second presentation at the convention, which was great, and sort of in and out of endoscopic remission. Thank you. And so, you know, the conversation about remission is complicated, but I've been symptomatic remission and I've been consistently for that time, which is beautiful. And yeah.
That's what, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you mentioned the conference, and National Guild of Hypnotists does have a yearly conference every August, and hypnotists from all around the world come and present at this conference in the East Coast outside of Boston. What do you like? Because you go to the conference and you present. What do you like about the conference? Like, for somebody, this year at the conference, I had met some people when it was going on who weren't even hypnotists,
mm-hmm.
and they just wanted to come see what it was all about, and now they're totally inspired to go home and find their own trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you love about when you go to the conference?
Yeah, and I've been going for, I think it's my fifth year. And vibe alone, the vibe of the conference is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the diversity of it. You see people from very different backgrounds doing hypnosis and using it in completely different ways.
Yeah.
You know, and you can, what I love, because I find myself on both sides, is what I said in one of my presentations was that you have, I explain it as there's two sides. There's the spiritual weirdos. And then there's the science and linguistic nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm both.
And then there's people in the middle.
And there's people in the middle, right? And the intersection between the two brings such a beautiful party. And of course, there's things about, you know, marketing and all of that, right? There's such a healthy mix
mm-hmm.
of it all. And so you never, you know, one, you never know what you're going to find. And you can really, you know, if you're in the mood for something, you can probably find it that hour. There's so much going on. And some of the presenters here are just unbelievable.
Like, people's knowledge blew me away.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
yeah.
What
I love and what I tell people with hypnosis is that if you want to become a hypnotherapist, a hypnotist, whatever the proper language is now, is that it's not going to take away from what you're already doing. It's not going to take away from any career, any profession you already have. It's just going to add to and make it better and more powerful. So a lot of people think, I don't want to drop my profession and just do that. I've had a lot of people go through my trainings who just want to know how they became the way they did.
Yeah.
How can they change their mind? And so the level of people that it reaches, you don't have to have a business. You have a very powerful, thriving business.
Yeah.
And I love what you said. I'm sort of bouncing around here. But when you mentioned that, let me work with a client for a year. Let me help them really recreate their life how they want it to be. There's a power in working with people longer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the climate changes a lot. When I became certified in the early 90s, it was one and done, or regress to cause, and then you're done. Mm-hmm. And the faster you could get the clients out and they were, quote unquote, fixed, the better you were. And that model went on for a really long time and started changing.
Yeah.
And thankfully, it's still changing. And it's okay to work with clients for a long time.
Yeah.
We're giving them tools.
Yeah.
We're giving them tools. And I, like, sometimes my clients say, are you going to be my guru? And I'm like, no, because guru will spell it out. G, you are you.
So I like that.
We help them go inside to find their own power, their information. We're just the guides to help them get there, just as you are in your psychotherapy
mm-hmm.
skills. So everything are tools. Everything is tools to help our clients become better in whatever action they want to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how I think about hypnosis is it's a deepened understanding of conscious experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything that we do involves our conscious experience. And so it's not that hypnosis is only good for weight loss or smoking cessation or whatever you think of when hypnosis comes to mind, but it can deepen all of the things that you do, right? It can transform the way that you work or the way that you sleep or the way that you eat or the way that you pray or meditate or whatever it may be for you.
Exactly.
It's applicable everywhere.
And that's powerful.
Yeah.
When you can take something and use it in any fraction of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't see one thing it doesn't help to know. It's like, it just seems like such essential information.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Dwight Damon, who has recently passed away, he was one who really brought the National Guild of Hypnotists up to the standard that it is. And many years ago, when I was attending the yearly conference, there was a bunch of psychologists on some board. And I know there's a lot of different schools of psychology.
Yeah.
And I was way in the background back then.
Yeah.
But apparently they came to a lot of our classes without really saying who they were. And then everybody's had a meeting afterward. And I might be really butchering the story, but the essence will be there. And they were so impressed with the professionalism of all the teachers. They saw that we weren't trying to take over their business. We weren't trying to be psychologists or psychiatrists. They really respected the integrity of what the National Guild has created. And that really created a really healthy handshake with the communities.
Yeah.
And then individuals like yourself who are in both worlds, you got your feet like in both worlds, you're really helping to bridge, I think, even more these two professions, where you're not here to take away the work of the hypnotist, we're not here to take the work of the therapist, but let's work together.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, in my practice, when I was in California, I've had so many different therapists that I'm not licensed, you know, I'm not licensed, but they were, their client would need to quit smoking. They're like, I don't know how to get into hypnosis, just please don't regress into childhood because they can't handle it. No problem. Let's get you to quit smoking.
Yep.
So it creates a beautiful handshake.
Absolutely.
My next question for you is, because I'm sure, I would assume that you belong to other boards in your profession.
Mm-hmm.
So now you sort of have eyes on different levels of professionalism. How does the NGH stand up to those standards for you?
Yeah, no, it does. It stands up. Again, it's in a different way because the world is so different.
Exactly.
But this is a professional space, and I really do. I love being a part of it, and I want there to be more of a handshake between the two fields because they're complementary. They're in no way, in truth, I really don't see them as competitive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually pushes both fields to actually be better in what they do.
Yeah.
Right. I think if anything, it's a challenge to complacency on both ends of the spectrum here, right? Is that as that handshake happens, as all integrative care comes to fruition, is it really challenges providers of all kinds to grow to what clients need.
Right.
And I love that because it's all, that's what it's all about, right? It's really
client-oriented therapy.
Of course, right? It has to be for them. And I mean, coming together never hurts.
Is there a particular, I don't like the word niche, but is there a particular type of person or issue or whatever that you sort of specialize in when you work with your people?
Yeah. So those chronic physical health conditions and trauma for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of the type of work that I do, I don't know. If for those who like psychotherapy language, it's something like psychodynamic. Sure. So it's psychodynamic, relational, and existential approaches. But honestly, I pull from a lot of things, not just in a kind of grab bag way, but in truth, if you just stick with one theory, it really roots you in such a small lens. And I think personally, it's so important to know these other lenses. And so I take from a lot. I do a lot of mindfulness and ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy. I do a lot of IFS type work, parts work. And so I mix it all. And it's really what I say, and what I say to all my clients is like, the space isn't mine; it's yours. You hire. I work for you, right? And so what do you want? What works in the space for you?
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Where would you like to see this profession and yourself in the future?
Ooh, double pronged question and a complicated one. Okay, you got me. But in terms of profession, I mean, I would love to see much more coordination. And I would love to see much more mental health professionals enter the space because I think it'll give them such a deepened understanding of the actual work that they're doing because the field of hypnosis and the field of psychotherapy is obviously interacting with the same mind-body system,
mm-hmm.
but they're talking at different levels of representation, both important levels of representation, but they are complementary to each other. And in my opinion, I don't know the depth of understanding we can have in psychotherapeutic work without knowing the insight into conscious experience that hypnosis gives us. And also, which is what I speak about at the conferences, is the opposite is true too, is it's so important to understand the implication of psychodynamic issues that happens within a person and how that affects eliciting trance in someone, because there's absolutely those portions that add to the conversation.
Yeah.
And then on the personal side, I mean, I plan to keep presenting here and attending. It's so fun. Hoping to collab with some people next year on some presentations. And yeah, I mean, I'm
collaboration is so much fun. I love hearing that word because I love collaborating even with different professions in my neighborhoods and whatnot, because we can be a handshake with everybody.
Yeah.
And I love that. One thing I love about the National Guild, and did you check out any other organizations before you chose the National Guild, or did you just get interested?
Online research, but this is the first one I sent it to. I got trained with Carol Deniker, who I'll shout out.
Yay, Carol Deniker, absolutely. Because back in the 90s, when I was looking to create a school, when you wanted to create a hypnosis training school, we did a lot of research and we chose the National Guild because of what it offered, the curriculum for its people being trained, the networking opportunity, and everything it provides for continuing education. And I truly do believe that the National Guild of Hypnotists is a flagship of the educational, yeah. Certifying guild. So thank you for your time today. Is there anything that you wish that I had asked you or anything that you'd like to say before we close out?
I think I'll just give a piece of gratitude. I love the convention. I'm so, so grateful for them and for opening my eyes to a new mode of work. And I'm excited for the future.
Cool. I'm excited for you too.
Thank you.
You're going to be adding to this profession. Seriously. So thank you for tuning in, all of you who are listening. And if this has somehow inspired you to want to go to know more, you can go to ngh.net and find all your information.
And I'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us, nghpodcast@ngh.net.